Are you ready for a boost this Q4 for your Amazon business? I have just the answer. It's called The List. Yep, that's it. The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are million-dollar-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 167, Dwayne Malik. You know, this is the end of my Young Gun series, and this is a great way to close it out because I think Dwayne brings some interesting comparisons or contrasts, I guess is a better word, with the rest of the group. Because, you know, Matt, Todd, Mitchell, and Agus, they are wild cards. They are, you know, hard charging, work hard, crazy, buy everything approach, and they've killed it. I mean, they've all had incredible growth. Dwayne is much more measured. You've heard some of the guys talk about it. Much more measured approach, very consistent, and it will blow you away to hear how much his sales were and how much debt he went into to get that. That's really the story to me. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, I'm excited to close out my series on the Young Guns with the crazy uncle that I call him, Dwayne Malik. Welcome, Dwayne.
Thanks, Stephen. It's great to be here. And yeah, the crazy uncle, I wear that badge proudly.
You should.
It's very fitting. I'm not a Young Gun. I'm kind of on the outskirts, you know, hanging out with the group, but not really part of the Young Guns. I don't know.
You're in that group. Now, they speak very highly of you. KIB is the mother that keeps you all out of jail. There's no question. But yeah, they did say that Dwayne brings, you know, a real balance and a real measured approach to things, real logical, measured approach. And that's very healthy when you're dealing with wild cards like Matt and Todd, those guys, and Mitchell. I mean, those wild cards, you know, so, and they know it. They say it, and they were very kind. They spoke very, very highly of you.
Oh, awesome. I intentionally did not listen to their interviews just so I wouldn't be influenced in any of my answers when I talk to you myself, but I will go back and listen, and that's good to hear. So thank you.
Ah, you know, you were episode number 32. That's crazy. You're in 160-something now. And so when you want to hear Dwayne's backstory, and it's a very good story, and it's a very interesting story, a kindred Dave Ramsey fan, devoted husband, episode 32 back in October of 2015. Is that crazy? Time is flying. It's flying, isn't it?
I can't believe it's been that long. That's insane. But congratulations on the viability of your podcast, the following that you've built. You've done a great job to be to episode 166. That's an amazing job.
I appreciate that. Very kind. Dwayne's sister, Jeanette, is part of the reason I have a podcast, because she and her friend told me I have the voice for radio. And I never would have thought that. As long as they didn't say I had the face for radio is what I thought they said. But it was very kind. And between them and Andy pushed me to do it. So I give them credit for that. So let's talk about Dwayne and Dwayne's business, because you have really been laying low up until the last 2 or 3 weeks. You've been off the radar for quite a long time. I'm assuming you had your head down doing the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that was pointed out way back when I first started. And Dean Soto, who introduced me to FBA through his podcast, mentioned it when I first started. He said, Dwayne will disappear for a while. And then he'll come back and say, hey, I did 10,000 this month, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but
back then it was.
I started with $1,500 cash in my pocket. I mean, that was where I started. So when I hit 10,000, that was like the first big benchmark. And I've noticed throughout my career coaching people and selling, I kind of tend to do that. I will disappear, focus on my business, and then come back and tell people what I learned. And so, yeah, I do go quiet for a few weeks at a time, and it's just because I'm working.
Well, walk us through that. What would you do? So when you disappear, what happens? I mean, A, why do you disappear? Are you fed up? Are you disappointed with yourself? Are you sick of, you know, people posting crap on Facebook? I mean, what is it that causes you to you know, pull back And then what do you do?
No, there is definitely a little bit of that, and that goes on. But the main thing is I have certain seasons that I have identified as my big selling periods. And during those, I shut everything out. And so if it's going to be Valentine's, Easter, which are both very big for me, so right now I am kind of working towards those, you know, that's when I'm going to be working February, March. You probably won't hear a lot from me until all that's in place. So April, I don't have anything for May and June that is time consuming. So I do more talking in April, May, June. Then the family gets off from school. I go on vacation. So I kind of have a quiet period there. I come back maybe in August and I do a lot more talking in August and September. Then we ramp up for back to school. So you won't hear from me while I'm doing that. You know, so it's kind of these seasonal cycles combined with the noise that I call it on Facebook, which is just unreal. So the last few months have not only been because of Q4, which is by far the busiest period for everybody. So no, I'm not going to be on Facebook very much in November and December. But even before that, yeah, there was a lot of what I call noise, which is the sales pitches and the join this group. And now we've started this paid thing over here and come get this list and all that. And I just shut it out. And I said, never mind. I don't want to participate. I don't want to be negative and talk about it. I don't want to support it. I'm just going away. So I disappeared for a few months.
You know, the other thing to think about, though, is you've matured in your business. As the other young guns talked about, is you're very comfortable knowing what to do for Valentine's Day. You're not in the learning phase anymore. You kind of figured out what works. You kind of figured out all those things. So you do need to pull back and spend time on that. Those lists that people buy and all the rest of that junk that people do, when you're starting out, a lot of that stuff is necessary when you're, as you used to say, buy time, right? You had more money than time. And so those things, but as you mature in your business, how many years have you been selling now, Dwayne?
We are right at 4 years.
Okay. So 4 years,
January of 2013.
And you think about the number of holidays. And I always remember you talking about the seasonal arch and talking about, you know, that window when things would sell in those seasons, right? The Valentine's and Easter ones that you always spoke about. I learned that lesson from you where you talked about that. So I think it's a sign of maturity that you're kind of pull back. And I think it's a very healthy thing. You know, what I heard from Matt and Todd's interview hasn't come out, so people haven't heard that yet, but they're, and Mitchell's the same way. They're basically saying, hey, we've kind of stopped chasing growth just for growth's sake. We're really now trying to, you know, be a little more mature in our business and take some profits out and build a little more consistency. And it sounds like you've really hit that stride because you had a great year. I mean, you had a good year last year, but you crushed it this year.
Yeah, this year was by far our biggest. We did in 2015, I was trying to hit the 500,000 mark, and we finished at like 590, I think. So just under 600,000. I was very happy with that. Didn't really set it as a benchmark right away, but as 2016 unfolded, yeah, the $1 million seemed to become a true possibility. So that became our target, was $1 million. And for a while, we were on pace for 1.2. Little bit of hiccup here and there, especially with the hurricane, threw off Q4 just slightly for us. So October was kind of a wash. And we ended up at almost exactly $1 million. It was $1,031,000 for the year. So
congratulations.
Very happy with that.
Yeah, that's a well-deserved effort. And, you know, you're one of those guys who does not use debt to finance your business. I don't know if that's still true. Is that still true?
Yes, I do use credit cards now, but it is all kind of a cash basis system still.
Okay.
I do not run into debt. There is always more money in the bank account than there is on the credit cards. It just became a necessity in my mind to start using the credit cards.
Yeah, you it's very difficult to use a debit card to make a $10,000 purchase. They don't like that. Yeah, that doesn't work well. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
That doesn't work well.
Our biggest single purchase was $29,000.
Yeah, debit cards don't work.
I don't want that on a debit card.
Yeah.
I need some of those protections in place. I need the flexibility of the credit card that has tens of thousands of dollar limit on it and that. And yeah, debit cards just became not feasible for my business. But we still do run cash basis.
So I just hope people hear this, that you can reach the $1 million mark without using debt. Now, you will not get there as fast, right, Dwayne? It's a little slower.
Yeah, it took me 4 years where the other young guns hit it in, you know, their first year, I think. Close to it.
Are you daily payouts or are you every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
Okay, so you even have that limit too. Yeah, that's another limit too. Yeah. So that makes it even more challenging, right? So you have to be much more disciplined. But looking on the other side of it now, are you thankful that you're that much more disciplined?
Absolutely. Yes. It's just, for me personally, I could not live in debt. You know, everything is paid for in our lives. So houses, cars, or house, we don't have multiple houses, but our house, our cars, student loans were paid a long time ago. I can't imagine going back into debt. So even my credit cards that I do run the business on, I pay off multiple times a month. I do not wait until the statement is due to pay it. It's, you know, about once a week, once every 2 weeks, I go in and just make sure everything is paid. I just don't like the debt.
So what would happen if Amazon shut down your account tomorrow?
Little bit of a freak out period.
Right. But
what I've done for 2017 is started to move on to other marketplaces for that exact reason. When I woke up in December and we had a pending disbursement of over $100,000, and I looked at my little red flag popping up almost daily because of different things happening.
Pricing errors, things like that. Yeah.
No, it wasn't even that. It was like I meant to look it up before I got on here, but it was like an OCR 15 safety compliance. It was.
Jeez, I never heard of that.
It's related to Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah. My Martha Stewarts are that way.
Yeah. So at Christmas time, I sell a lot of stuff with Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting lists of ASINs a day saying, this is not compliant, policy notice. And then I had some MF issues, you know, merchant fulfilled stuff. So then suddenly I got a policy warning saying you had too many late shipments, which was a story I won't get into, but yes, it was my fault, but it was also Amazon's fault. In the end, it doesn't matter. Fact is, I kept getting all these little flags, and I'm looking at six figures sitting in the disbursement account going,
that's terrifying.
I need that money. The next payout was over $50,000. And again, you know, still getting the red flags, not as many, getting some of the stuff ironed out, but still, hey, that's almost $60,000 of my money that I really need and I want. You know, even if I don't need it, I want it. So what would I do if Amazon shut down? Well, I would concentrate on the other marketplaces that I have since opened up, Jet, Walmart, eBay to some extent. We had some good eBay sales during Halloween when I bought some costumes that were restricted, so I couldn't sell them on Amazon, but I was able to move them very well on eBay. So all of those are the places I'm starting to look, and that's how I'm diversifying my business. It would hurt to be shut down, but we are, again, very cash heavy.
Right. And so what happened, my point was this, is that, right, if you were shut down, other than what you owe on that last credit card that you still might have financed for those 20 days or whatever, you pay that. In theory, yeah, it sucks. You got to wait for your money, but you could live.
I have, honestly, in the bank right now, years worth of what I used to get paid at AT&T. So,
that's incredible. So you can self-finance. You, in essence, are. You're just using points or whatever. Yeah. But that's a great position. And again, just people should hear this. This is somebody who is sold over $1 million this year. Okay. Over $1 million. And started, as you say, with $1,500. But it's taken you 4 years to get to this level with your head down, working.
Correct. There were a lot of lessons learned along the way. But
Let's start talking about them, actually, because this is kind of, okay. I want to stay right with the questions I asked the other guys. We know how you did 2016 through 2015. What did work? What when you look back at this past year, because you more than doubled your sales, or you know, just about doubled them, what did work? You could name like two or three things that were just like boom, boom, boom.
Direct to Amazon shipping was huge. That is, I contacted my supplier, and rather than have them send products to me, I skipped all the shipping fees and the pack and prep and all that. I had my suppliers ship direct to Amazon.
Now, did you co-mingle, or did you have Amazon prep them?
No, everything that I did that way was commingled.
Okay, so commingled.
I do have one supplier that does my bundles for me, so I buy from them directly, and they know that I'm selling on Amazon, and we talked at a trade show. I got to meet them in person. I think trade shows are a fantastic way to actually talk to people versus just being, you know, kind of familiar or whatever. So anyway, I talked to her face-to-face, the main contact. And she said, why aren't we doing your bundles for you? Instead of sending you the stuff from California to Georgia, you bundling it and then sending it to wherever Amazon says, why don't we just do it? You know, you pay us, and it's like 20 cents a bundle that they charge me. It's ridiculous. I'm like, that's great. So I bought supplies to do the bundles. She keeps it at her warehouse. When I need more of the products in it, I just say, hey, can you bundle up 100 of them for me? And it gets shipped from California to a warehouse in California, so it arrives the next day. And shipping, the money I save in the shipping that would have come to me more than pays for what I'm paying them to do the work.
Oh, yeah, from Georgia to California. I have a question on that. Can I ask you a question on that?
Absolutely.
What you're saying about them storing the merchandise for you is huge as Amazon increased their storage fees, right? Because they keep reminding us they're a fulfillment company, not a warehouse company. So,
absolutely.
One of the things that, you know, I think a lot of people are figuring out is that they need to send in fewer items or just be more timely with it, right? And say, okay, you know, figure out, hey, I'm going to sell 100 this week. I need to send 150 in, and then stay, you know, boom, watch your, you know, your lower number and trigger another purchase. So that sounds like you've worked out that relationship with that warehouse. That's a huge pro tip right there. That's a huge pro tip. Are they charging you for storage in any way?
No, not at all. Because
so that's huge.
Yeah, it is the wholesale company. So it's not even a storage facility. It's the warehouse of the manufacturer, the manufacturer. So I just tell them I need more.
Have you been able to replicate that now that you know the model there? Or is that a plan to, as you look at particular things, if it makes sense, where you can say, hey, I want you to send in, you know, I'll give you the quantity. I'll buy 1,000, but, you know, to get the price break, but send in 100. At a time or something?
I only have that arrangement with that one supplier, but okay. It is definitely something I would be willing to talk to another supplier about and explain exactly why and what. And yeah, I'm going to pay for it up front. That's one advantage I have with wholesale.
Well, that's the question. Did you have to buy a larger quantity and they're holding your quantity there?
No.
Okay. So they're letting you buy at 100. Okay. That's a very rare relationship. All right. That's cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know if I'll ever be able to duplicate that, but it's amazing.
Very cool. That's so smart. Okay, so that really sounds like it worked well. What else worked well?
Networking is really, and I'm sure almost everybody that you talk to says that, but it is so important.
Yeah, but you guys live and breathe it. I mean, a lot of people talk about it. You guys live and breathe it.
Yeah, we do. You know, I found this. Let's all buy it. I got this buy, let's all get in on it. Or just a couple of us. Sometimes, you know, the others don't really like it. And it's like, well, I do. You know, let's do this. We bring so many deals to each other, it's hard not to be successful. I mean, it's just a powerhouse of ideas, sourcing methods, abilities, knowledge, background. It runs the whole gambit. And so, yeah, the network that we have is probably the single biggest reason that I was able to do a million.
Is that an implicit trust?
Yes. I think it has to be.
Have you ever had that level of trust with anyone you've worked with ever?
Not and had it survive.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's it.
I've trusted people and
I agree.
A year and a half later, we were not still talking the way that the young guns are still talking. 6 months, 8 months, maybe. But at some point, something happens and the relationship falls apart.
What causes that?
That's been my experience in the past.
Mine too. And I begin to think it's me. I honestly do. This is Steve's self-reflection time. For a moment, I sit back and say, man, it must be me. The only one, and in this business, I only do a few deals with some young guns, with Greg Purdy, with Andy. Those relationships have all stayed strong in that. But outside of this business, in other businesses or in other jobs, I've had the same experience. And I kept thinking it's me. So you've had the same experience.
I have. And I think probably the biggest reason things fall apart is normally your situation changes. You know, this person moves or goes in that direction with their business, or one of 100 other things changes the dynamic of the group. So far, we haven't really had anyone do a big shift to another business model or any life changing thing that would affect the relationships that we have. That's probably the
that makes sense.
Where I see things fall apart.
No, I think you're right. I think that makes sense. Yeah, a marriage or an end of a marriage or, like you said, a big move or something. That makes sense to me, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's not even, you know, it's not necessarily that the trust goes away. It's just you guys aren't really compatible in what you're doing in business. So maybe the group that was there kind of falls apart.
Right, you grow apart.
Nobody's fault. It just, yeah, it just happens.
You know, the other very cool thing about your group is the distribution center. And we got to talk about it because Agus brought it up at the end after, and Matt and Todd didn't really bring it up. I use Matt and Todd to do some of my prep because I do a deal with them. You are using them. What percentage of your stuff are you running through there?
I don't really have a percentage, but it would probably be less than 10,
okay.
Maybe 5.
It's and the bigger purchases, right?
Yeah, it's the stuff that I need to go on pallets, which I can't do because I still work from home.
Right.
I don't have a way for a freight company to come pick up a pallet. So the big items, the palletized items, the big purchases where I don't have the facility to prep it all, those are the kind of things that I'm sending. And in Q4, it was vital. I mean, I was buying big stuff and hundreds of them at a time. So I couldn't have done what I did without them. So their prep service has been, it was a godsend in Q4, and I will use it much more this year. That's part of my growth plan on Amazon is to utilize their prep center because Jesse is the one that runs it, and he is amazing.
Yeah, he's been great.
That thing just, yeah, like clockwork, just awesome.
And in the communication, what I appreciate is it's run via text because I work during the day, and it's just a simple text, boom, and I can deal with it. The company's called Nationwide Fulfillment Services, okay? And so the person who runs it is Jesse Thompson, and he's the GM there, and he's the guy you want to talk to. So it's J Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, at nfsde.com. And I'll put the link on my website, give him a free pump. But I use them, and I use Brendan from Prime Zero Prep, and I've used John Bullard in the past. So I'm equal on all those guys. I think well of them all. But Jesse's done a great job for the stuff that he's done for me, too, personally. And it was interesting to me. Harvey said that it was the number one reason he was able to crush it because he uses Dale, which is great, but he needed another prep center, and that really worked well for him. And Todd told me he basically doesn't have any influence over it. I mean, he's able completely to be hands-off with it because of Jesse. So that's really that's a cool statement.
Yeah, and speaking of hands-off, I don't touch anything. I don't even log into my system and build the shipments. I mean, Jesse truly does everything, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I've given him access to me, too.
Yeah, Matt and Todd have done a great job of setting that up. And no, they're not hands-on. I know people say, well, are you afraid of them stealing your inventory or your ideas? They're not even there. They don't see it. No, I'm not afraid of it anyway.
Well, that's that implicit trust.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Chris Green always says this, and he's so right, is you get away with it one time. One time. You know, if you want to get greedy, if you look at the long play, which is the relationship in that, you can get away with it one time and then it'll be over. But if you look at the long play, that relationship, then you trust and, you know, both two-way street. That's how it lasts.
Yeah. No, nobody is going to steal your ideas that has any intention of staying in business. I mean,
there's software out there.
It's not happening.
There are people teaching how to, you know, use software to, you know, scrape your site and, you know, get a list of your wholesalers and contact them. That's what everybody's doing right now. That's, you know, so it's not like it's a secret. It's just that people aren't going to do the work. So I don't worry about that either. All right. Yeah. So those are the things that did work. What didn't work? What are you looking back at and saying, you know, Dan Miller, who I was just with, I love when he says it. He says 15%. He said, I'm so excited about killing 15% of my business every year, even though it's profitable, because I can't wait to see what's going to replace it. So while it's still working, he gets rid of 15%. So when I say what didn't work, it doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't work. It just means that you turned it off and said, I don't want to do it anymore. That's what I'm looking for.
What didn't work? That's an excellent question. I mean, I definitely had my fair share of mistakes. But, you know, what am I turning off? I don't know I don't know that I'm turning anything off. I am definitely changing. Like, I was buying thousands of units of things based on the seasonality of it and where I projected the price points to be. What I learned and what I will stop doing this year is waiting for people to sell out so that I get my price. What I figured out is when you're playing at these higher levels and you're buying thousands of units, so isn't that guy.
Yeah,
he's
right.
got 100,000 feedback. He's got a lot more units than you do. And wherever he is priced at, that's the price. So either buy there and be happy selling there or don't buy.
I agree with you.
Buy. Yeah, do not buy and go, well, when he sells out, I'm going to get my price. That works when you have 10 of something. That does not work when you have 1,000 or something. And it may not work with 10, but at least you're only in for 10.
That's the eye-opener for people who are going to ASD. They need to understand, when you go to the liquidation room or whatever, pay attention. When you start to see Tide at that stand and that booth and that booth and that booth, that's a clue. Don't buy Tide. Yeah. Because only the competitive advantage you have is price. And guess what? Somebody has deeper pockets. Or Brita. I remember Brita water filters. And I was like, oh, look at these. And then I go to the next place. Those are Brita water filter. Hey, there's more Brita. I bet you 25 people had those. So those completely got liquidated and brought down to that level. Now, you had some real success, though, at ASD as a group.
Yes. Yes. As a group, we did. I was not a part of that success.
Ah.
Honestly, that was more Harvey, to me, had the best find of this show. The time before that, it was Matt. Those guys do liquidation better than I do.
Okay.
This time when I go to ASD, I'm actually going to focus on my strength, which is the true wholesale side of things.
Okay.
So the downstairs, you know, wholesale floor, I'm not going upstairs to the liquidation. That is not the world I play well in. And so,
again, that's a tough one, because if you buy it and you're the last one buying it and everybody else is out of it, good for you. It's unfortunate when you buy it and 17 other people buy it and nobody runs out. That's when it's trouble.
Yeah. Let me give you and your audience an actual example of a spreadsheet that I just got from a supplier that I met at ASD. But I bought, again, thousands of units from them last year. So he sends me a spreadsheet and said, hey, you bought a lot of stuff. I want to make sure you get locked in early. Here's what I have. Here's what's already sold. How much of it do you want? And one of the things that I bought 1,000 of and ended up probably breaking even overall. Mm-hmm. I maybe made a little bit of money, but they had gotten 18,000 units and had reserved 1,000 for somebody. And I looked at that and I went, I was one of those that bought 1,000 last year, not realizing there were 17,000 more units that I never knew about. I thought I was getting the last 1,000 because that's how I went into it. I said, how many do you have? I want to buy them all. I want to make sure I lock out the competition. I was the last man in buying the last 1,000, 1,200 units, not knowing 10, 15,000, whatever had already sold. So by the time I got to market, I went, wait a minute, I'm in trouble. Yeah. And it turned ugly. So
did anyone else, even outside of that company, also have them, do you feel, looking back?
It's a possibility. I don't know for certain, but yeah, it was a major brand. So it's a possibility that, yeah, even that company did not have all that there was. And I still see people with over 1,000 in stock because, you know, you can only look up to 999. I mean, there's people that have been in stock with 1,000 or more for a year now.
Now, think about that. If they have them in storage at Amazon's warehouse, what are they paying in long-term storage fees for that? Oh, right?
Insane.
It's insane. And that is a great lesson. How about, let's talk about that for a second. If you did buy 1,000 because you were confident that it was the end and you figured you could ride it out, what are you going to do with 1,000 now?
A storage unit. I'm actually doing that right now with some of my Valentine's and Easter stuff. And even I just had a big sale that I went to this weekend where I cleared out a good part of an entire store and I'm not shipping it all in. Where in the past, I would have sent everything and not worried about it. Now I have a 10 by 20 storage unit, and I'm sending in 20, 50, 100 at a time and waiting for them to sell through and see what the actual sell-through rates are. It's cheaper for me to pay $140, I think it is, for that storage unit and keep it there than to spend all the money to send it in, to take all the risk of having it sit there and not sell, especially right now, because, you know, you're coming up against the long-term storage fees for August if you send it in right now. You know, at least if I wait another month, I'm on the other side of that. Right. I can sell right on through next February. But yeah, that is something I have intentionally done for two reasons. One is the Amazon storage fees, and the other is so that I can send my own products on Walmart and on Jet and on eBay, and I don't have to mess around with the MCF of FBA, which is where I got in trouble with the weight shipment stuff and all that. So yeah, big lesson learned is to not send everything all at once.
Yeah, that's it's perfect advice, and I love that. Yeah, like you're saying, it's $140, and you're not putting chocolates or something like that that could get eaten by other creatures. You can put, you know, I'll use a bad example, Valentine cards or Easter cards or right. something like that. Okay, that makes perfect, or baskets or something. So that's a real pro tip there too. Do you feel like, and because I want to take a break, but I do want to ask this question: do you feel like you could be on Walmart and Jet and even eBay without getting additional help, given the size that you're at right now? It's exclusive of the fulfillment service that you're using. You actually have some help giving you a hand at your location. Do you think you could get to this level and then add these other channels without it?
No.
Okay.
No way. I could not source for 8 hours a day and then come home and pack for 8 to 10 hours. There's just no way. I did that in the beginning because I had to out of mm-hmm. necessity.
Right. You had more money than time, or more time than money, as you would say.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And now that I have more money than time, it is worth every dime to pay. I have one part-time worker, and she is fantastic and shows up on time, does a great job when she's here. And I can trust her to do everything from listing to packing. Again, it's hands off. So now my job becomes keeping her busy. That's it. That's my entire job. Go buy enough stuff so that she can come work for 3 or 4 hours a day and stay busy somewhere between about 4 and 6 days a week, and, you know, depending on the season and just how busy we are. So,
but that's a neat way of figuring out a metric. I mean, hey, I can figure out how much she can process in a day, and I want to keep X number of days. That gives you, I mean, that's a nice little thing to light a fire under you.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. I haven't actually broken that down, but I should, because yeah. I do have a good idea of how much she can do. And I like that idea. Thank you. I will break it down into more than just kind of this relative guessing, which is what I'm doing now.
Well, I think it's a good metric that would be very helpful for other people, because I love the idea of having them come in for 3 or 4 hours, because my experience, and I don't know how the real world is in your world, but in my world, and I've been in business side for a long time, is by having somebody who comes in for 3 or 4 hours, they work for 3 or 4 hours. You don't have the water cooler talk, and you don't spend a lot of time talking about other stuff because they got stuff to do. You're getting exactly. the best of what they, and you're giving them a great life, because 3 or 4 hours, they can go and have a life, right? Especially if they have, you know, other things going on. So I think it's genius. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. And I want to start talking about 2017. And I want to ask you if you celebrated. I'm interested in that. We'll be right back. Hope you enjoyed that series with the Young Guns. Man, it's amazing to see what they're up to. Matt sent me a note saying, hey, Steve, we could take a few more customers in our fulfillment service. That's the service that we were talking about. You heard it from Mitchell. You heard it from a goose. That's what they're talking about, why they've been so successful. Well, he's got an opening for just a few more customers that you want to talk to Jesse Thompson. That's jthompson@nfsde.com, jthompson@nfsde.com, and you too could be working with the Young Guns. jthompson@nfsde.com. Man, if you can't be inspired after listening to this, I mean, just think about that, the growth, the incredible growth, but how long it took them. It's 4 years. Here you are coming in new to the business, and you see these crazy numbers posted by these guys, and you're saying, oh my God, I'm failing, because I only sold $10,000. Well, every one of those guys sold $10,000 at one point in their life too. And to listen to Dwayne tell his story and to realize that he can get to $1 million in sales over 4 years using no debt, starting with $1,500 by putting his head down and doing the work and partnering up, and of course we get into all that, that's the story. So don't feel like a failure. Put your head down and do the work. That's the lesson. You know, don't be looking at everybody else. Measure against yourself and your own personal goals, and you're going to do fine. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Dwayne Malik. Episode 32. I'm still blown away. Back in 2015, that's where Dwayne's backstory is. And it's absolutely a story that if you've not heard, it's so worth listening to, because Dwayne's a humble guy, but he has really accomplished a lot in his life. Very great dad, met his wife, very cool lady. You really have figured out a lifestyle, Dwayne. I applaud you for that. You really take the lifestyle pretty serious.
Thank you. And yes, I do. And my wife remembered you when I said I was doing this interview. She said, "Is that the good-looking older guy with the gray hair?" I said, "Yeah."
Oh, yeah, that was him. So, yep. Yeah. Nice. So oh, I really love it. Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that. You can lie like that every time. I'm okay with that. So let's talk. Did you get a chance to celebrate? You know, you sold $1 million. You had a great year. You and your wife, we're going to talk about what you guys were able to accomplish together. But did you take time to celebrate?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't celebrate in the fact that, oh, look what we did kind of a thing. But no, I got done getting everything that I needed to accomplished and finished and wrapped up to where I could take about 3 weeks and do nothing. Now, I worked on a little bookkeeping just because I was here at the house and I wasn't packing and shipping, but the kids were off for almost 3 weeks at Christmas, which is kind of insane. My wife works at the school, so she was off. So, you know, we just celebrated in the fact that we did well. We made a lot of money and we could just kick back. We took a couple of little mini vacations, you know, a couple of days here, a day or two there, and just kind of hung out with the family. I mean, to me, that is the celebration.
That's absolutely the reason you do this. And that's another maturity sign, though, of your business, that you're comfortable enough that you can take off 3 weeks, because that's another thing that's hard to turn off. 2 years ago, you couldn't turn that off, could you?
No way. No. I would be depressed by the numbers that I'm putting up right now.
Yeah.
But now it's actually planned. I see it. I know what's coming.
Right.
Because it was intentional. I did it by design. And I don't mind not having big January numbers. It's not a big month for me. I'm not a textbook seller. I'm not a person that feels like I need to do two or three times what I did last year, the same month over month. No, I'm good with selling a million. Yes, I want to increase my margins. I think everybody does. But I don't want to increase my workload. I don't want to increase my actual overall sales. If I can...
Oh, that'd be awesome. You're another one. Yeah. You're every one of the young guns has said the same thing. They're not chasing growth anymore. They'll let it grow naturally, right? By just being better at what they do. But all of you have said the same thing. Everyone.
It's probably because we talk so much and I don't know whose idea it was or whatever, but yeah, it's kind of a consensus that we're all kind of where we want to be and we're just making the business work better without us and picking spots where we can kind of remove ourselves or pick spots where, you know, maybe I can use a fulfillment center instead of actually having a garage full of boxes or a pallet dropped off to me. I can have it dropped off to Jesse and let him worry about it.
Love it. Oh God. So powerful.
I went sourcing with Harvey in Nashville back in, I believe it was September. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do by taking courses and listening to other people and being in groups. But until you actually put your feet on the ground and do it, you know, nothing beats that experience. And I said, okay, if I'm really going to get into this whole shoe thing, and that's what the whole point of the trip was, I said, I'm going to Nashville. I'm going to source shoes with Harvey. Because he knows shoes like nobody else,
right.
And that gives you the better margins, the increased ASP, which, you know, allows you to put up the same kind of numbers with really overall less work. That appealed to me back then. I knew that's what I wanted to do going forward after Q4. And so I spent a couple of days with him, and it was amazing. And now my January is not only Valentine's and Easter, which is this time of year that I gear up for. Like I said, I just went and bought out half a store of shoes. So, you know, that's kind of where the focus is shifting to.
Love it.
But yeah, that stuff is just, it's priceless to have people that you can do that with.
Well, but it's a two-way street, right? These are relationships. And so it can't be you just take. You've got to contribute too. And I think that's another thing that's hard for people to understand is, well, you don't have anything to offer. Dwayne, what they told me was that you're the voice of reason. You're very analytical. You take that side of it, which, you know, Matt and Todd will tell you that that's not their thing. You know, they definitely don't like that piece of it. And the fact that you step in and do that for them, and a lot of times, I mean, what a great relationship. That's what you want.
That's kind of funny. I'm interested to listen to that because I ask myself all the time, how in the world do I fit in with these guys? Because we're a great group and we do get a lot done together. But yeah, I look at the way that they just go all out, no fear, you know, hard charging. Harvey was sourcing Hatchimals when everybody was restricted.
Right.
He's like, I don't know how I'm going to sell these things, but I just picked up another 50 of them. I'm like, you're crazy. What if you get stuck with them? He's like, I'll figure it out later. I don't have that in me.
Right.
I will never have it in me. It's
me neither.
Not my thing.
That's why I'm a wantrepreneur, not an entrepreneur. But yeah, and a lot of that conversation, just so you know, some of it was off air, just between me and, you know, I'm friendly with them too.
Okay.
But they were very clear about it. And that, to me, again, that's what people have to listen. You have to contribute. You just can't be a taker. So let's talk about, you know, your plans for 2017 on your business. Let me, because we're going to get to health and personal, and I want to talk about a milestone you did, you and your wife. But what are your plans for 2017 in business? Sounds like you're not chasing growth. You're going to, is it an optimization? Is it an efficiency? Is it reducing touch points or all of the above?
Really, my biggest overall is what I've said a few times now, which is expansion into other marketplaces.
Okay.
I want to reduce my personal role in the Amazon business so that I can kind of focus more on these other marketplaces and get that kind of up and going. So how I plan to do that is not spend as much time sourcing. So I want to get the higher ASP stuff. I want to utilize Jesse so he can do some of my prep. So when I get pallets of stuff, it'll go to him. And then my niece is totally capable at this point. There's nothing. She's my packer. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. My niece is actually the one that works for me doing my packing. I trust her wholeheartedly. So as long as I can keep products coming in, there shouldn't be an issue of me removing myself from the Amazon part of the business. And with that, I've gotten more into wholesale, or I plan to. I mean, I have a little bit already, but I have a plan to go more into wholesale. I want to hit more trade shows, set up more of those accounts where I am not necessarily out killing myself with the RA. I will definitely do it in spots. I will do it in particular situations, but I don't want to feel like I have to go out and find stuff every day. I really rather have stuff coming to me. And I've done a lot more OA in the last 2 weeks just because I was with the family and I didn't want to be out running around and all that. So I just had a lot of stuff being delivered to me. And that should allow me to remove myself from Amazon, be able to focus on Jet and Walmart and go those directions.
I think it's perfect sound. I think your approach is right. Do you have because you're trying to reduce your risk also, right, your exposure, do you have a number that you're shooting for? I mean, is Amazon going to remain 80% of your business, 50%, 80%, you know, have you thought that out yet?
I haven't.
Okay.
And honestly, they're probably too much of a piece right now to become any less than 80.
Okay.
And they'll probably still be 90%.
Okay.
But I want to learn, just like I did in 2013 with Amazon, I want to spend a year learning everything about those marketplaces so that when I'm ready to hammer it and go all in, I have everything in place to do it.
Right,
you know, right now, I'm still trying to figure out how exactly to upload inventory to Walmart. So, you know, for a while, it's not going to really take off. I've got a handful of SKUs, I'm less than 10 right now. I am seriously just learning that platform. So it's going to be a while, but that's going to be my education for this year.
Yeah, and the good news is if another platform that has any, you know, strength to it comes into marketplace, you already had experience of bringing 1, 2, 3 platforms, you can just add another one. So I think it's genius. I think it's a great investment of time because you're at that maturity point for you, which is not the same for Matt. Matt's 4X you. And now he's comfortable there, and Todd's a little less. That's where your comfort zone is. To me, that's the beauty of this business, is you can be where you want to be. And not many, you know, think about if you were brick and mortar. You don't have that luxury, right? Because people are breathing down their neck, and they got to pay the rent next month, and they got to pay, you know, the staff and all the rest of that jazz. We're very fortunate that you can kind of level to where you want to be. I think that's one of the beauties of this business.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I'm already planning my summer vacations.
Nice. That's awesome. All right, let's talk health goals. So what I remember following was you and your wife got really serious about getting healthy. Talk about that. while you were growing your business. I mean, you had a big year.
Yeah, it happens, honestly, every summer with us. You know, she gets off from school because, again, she's a speech therapist, works in the school. So right around the end of May, first part of June, she's at home, and she's the health nut. She's the one that drives it. So when she's around, okay, it's time to get into shape. And I go step on the scale, and I go, wow, that's kind of ugly. And I was at about 215 in June, and we started, you know, exercising. We did the daily burn, and which is a computer program, or a live show, actually. You know, 30 minutes, stream it on your computer whenever you feel like it, watch it on your iPad, your phone, whatever. So very convenient, and I love doing that. You know, that's the push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jacks, which, yeah, jumping jacks on there is not the same as when you were in school. Now, they work you for 30 minutes, and you'll be drenched in sweat, and I love that feeling. She's more of a let's go for a walk, let's go for a bike ride, so we do that also. But we actually ran into just this wall where, okay, we lost maybe 5 pounds or something, and yes, we're doing all this work, but it's not coming together the way it should. And John Lawson actually started a little health group, you know, where he had kind of his, and he used to be much, much, much bigger than he is, and has lost a ton of weight and looks great and is physically active, works out every day. And he said, I'm going to these conferences and I'm watching everybody in the room get bigger and bigger month over month, year over year. I see the same people in the FBA world, because we're not a very active group. You know, we do a lot of sitting in front of the computer. He's like, people I'm seeing year after year, they're getting bigger and bigger. So let's do something about it. So he got us hard charging on his program, which was awesome. I dropped from 215 down to about 195. And Angie lost her weight. I won't say what it was, but
God
she
forbid,
lost weight.
Yeah.
So she was very happy with it. Q4 came, and that's my tough time, because between the holidays and the work, I fell off the wagon a little bit, stopped doing my daily burn, and actually we just made a pact today that said, yeah, we're going to start doing our
You knew you were coming on the show. That's why. Yeah. You know,
if I knew that I was coming on today, I would have done it this morning just to say, yeah, I'm doing my daily. But the fact is, I fell off the wagon. I put about 5 pounds on, so I'm sitting right about 200. But she's gone on to find another kind of diet program, or whatever you want to call it, lifestyle change, because it's not really a diet. You know, anybody knows diets don't work. But she found the Trim Healthy Mama. I don't really know what that is, but I know I'm eating great food. I'm maintaining my weight. She's losing weight. I need to get back to working out. But we do feel better when we exercise, and I seriously miss it. And she feels better about where she's at, but she wants to get back to exercise. So we did make that lifestyle change, and then Q4 kind of threw us off a little bit. But again, nothing to do with the show. She just looked at me today and said, we're getting back in shape. And I said, yeah, it's time.
But you did it together. You know,
yes.
Isn't it that also makes it part? I mean, you guys have been married a long time. That's part of it, right? Again, that's that relation. That's a very healthy part of your relationship.
Yeah, she said that, you know, she reads through the Facebook page for this Trim Healthy Mama, and she'll see the people that say, you know, I cook, but my husband won't eat it. Or I'm making a meal for myself and something else for everybody else. And, you know, they're struggling. They're like, how do you do this? And that's one thing that I can say just without a doubt is we have always supported each other. Her more than me, you know, honestly. I'm the crazy guy that said I want to quit my full-time job. And she said, okay, as long as you can provide the lifestyle for me and the kids that we currently have, do what you need to. And now I'm able to give them much more than I was back then, which is awesome. But, you know, when she goes, hey, this certain thing is not working for me, and it's usually related to diet and exercise, I want to do X, Y, Z. Okay, let's do it. You know, whatever it is you want to do for a health goal, let's make it happen. If you want to eat this, we'll eat this. You want to eat that, we'll eat that. So we do support each other, and it helps in our marriage. It helps in our life. And I don't know how you do it any other way, because your spouse is so important. If you guys are not on the same page, it's not going to work, and you're going to end up just butting heads at some point. It's going to be bad.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I and that's both in life, business, and your health, because ultimately, you know, the money's great, but your health is your freedom. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's really a, that's where the freedom is, because if without it, you're going to be in deep trouble.
You betcha.
Hmm. So, you know, thinking about this, you know, after this great year, you had a great year last year, but you had an amazing year this year. Harvey said something, and it really resonated with me. He believes that 2017 is going to be the year of the seller on Amazon, meaning that they are going to be more mindful of the sellers. And in his words, he spent a he paid them $1 million this year in fees. You know, that's what his fees were. It was $1 million, right?
Wow.
And so you think about that. What would you say that 2015 is going to be?
I hope he's right, but I disagree.
Okay.
Because I have seen what they're doing, and I just think there's more restrictions coming. I think there's more safety notifications and this and that. I don't know that until they get a handle on the counterfeit issue, which is what all this seems to be in reaction to, that we're going to see a seller-focused Amazon. Right now, they are still, I think, clearing people out, shutting down listings, shoot first, ask questions later. People, I know somebody shared with me the other day, they got suspended. I think it was like, I'd have to do the math, but I think they said November 3rd to December 21st.
Oh my goodness.
45 days at the dead heart of Q4. Now, I mean, if there is ever a time to put a pause on suspensions, if you care about sellers, that's it. Do not suspend anybody in November and December, please. I mean, that could be devastating. And luckily, he had some other ways of making money, and he did, and he survived it. But no, I don't think Amazon cares about the sellers any more now than they ever have in the past. And I'm afraid they're going to care less this year than they did last year. There's still things going restricted. I buy it. I send it in. I'm okay at the time that it's sent. And suddenly it gets there and it's in stranded inventory. Well, what happened? It's restricted now.
Okay.
It makes it so hard to run a business. So I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Harvey is exactly right. But I am not nearly as bullish on Amazon taking care of sellers as he is, apparently.
Well, then let's close with this and give me the advice you would give somebody, because I want to make sure somebody who's stuck, right? They're at that 30,000 mark. They're doing their 350 a year, and you know, it's not really quite a great full-time living, and they want to make it to that next level, that 600, 700, 800 to the million where you are. Give us something that you think people can take and apply to their business. Although, you know, what they should do is go back and look at your plan, which is the tortoise, right? Not the hare, right? Slow, right. Methodical growth, consistently making mistakes along the way. It's not been perfect, right?
Yeah. Everyone's going to make mistakes all the time.
So give us something that you think that people can do and apply in their business to get past that point of stuck.
If you don't have an employee, get one. Let somebody else do the packing. That to me is where I was able to go from the $20,000-$30,000 months to the $50,000-$100,000. We did $262,000, I think, in December alone. It was awesome. But it's that freed me up, once I did that, to be able to just go buy products, find wholesale sources, get a hold of distributors, start to get the products coming in. That's going to move you from being stuck buying 10,000, packing 10,000 to go sell 20,000 in the course of a month. It's just too much work for one person to do that much, unless you're a goose.
Yeah, now, a goose is crazy. Goose,
yeah, if you're a goose, I mean, the rules don't apply. But for any normal, sane person, yeah, that's my advice, is find out what your biggest pain point is, and it's probably the packing and shipping, and find someone to do that for you.
And you're 3 hours a day. And if you can plan that and you can, you know, very productive 3 hours, that's a smart business move. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, somebody has a question, they can reach out to you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. Easy to find. That's the best way to get to me, is just send me a private message on Facebook. I have a Fast Turn Radio Facebook group that anyone is welcome to join. So you can get a hold of me there, but really just a PM, Dwayne Malik. I don't know if you're going to have some notes to spell it.
Yeah, I will. I'll put it on there. Yep, I'll have all that done. Facebook contact, and plus I'll do the Fast Turn.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's not something that I actively promote. I don't have anything to sell, whatever. Nope. Just get a hold of me if you have questions. I'm more than happy.
But you're always there for some advice or some, you know, it's technical. Dwayne's very technical. So when you have a technical question, it's a good person to ask for that. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Can't wait to see you in a couple weeks. I'll probably see each other. I bet you it's going to be 6 times this year. I bet you. I'm going to keep track once it starts. Awesome. It just seems to go on. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Great job, and can't wait to hear what else is going to happen in your life. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you, and congratulations on your success with the podcast, and look forward to seeing you, my friend.
All right. Peace, my friend. You know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services, and I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-commerce. solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her, and most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plates. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-commerce, the number 4, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you. solutionsforecommerce.com. Man, what a great interview. You know, what a great way to close out this series. You know, these guys are just terrific. And KIB, of course, too. I don't want to exclude her. But it's such a great group because the dynamic works. And again, how do you find that group yourself? How do you find others that have similar interests, that have the same values, that you know, different yet complement each other? By putting yourself out there. Go and help a bunch of people and keep helping people. Those other people, they'll find you. You'll connect. When others see the type of person you are and see you helping others, people are naturally attracted to that. And that's what you want to look for. And then you'll find somebody else who's doing similar things. And that's how it starts. Man, I hope you enjoyed that series. Give me some feedback, ecommercemomentum.com.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.